Hello, 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 everybody. You are listening to No Free Rides, episode 93, brought to you by EasyStand.com, some of the makers of the finest standing frames in the world. Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Tiffany Carlson. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today is December 28th, 2012. 3 days before the end of the year, and hello, I'm still here. Yes, folks, the Mayans were wrong, and I'm here to live another day and to record another podcast, which means the world has not come to an end. For some of you doomsday people, maybe that was a disappointment, but I'm glad the world didn't end. I'm not quite ready for it to happen. And so for our very last podcast of the year, you're tuning into a very good show. We have, for the epically cool last podcast of this year, we have a very awesome person I've invited, Sarah Tabor, on the show. And before 2008, she was your average hipster bicyclist racing around Minneapolis, able-bodied. But now, she's a paraplegic after one of the strangest yet common ways people tend to injure themselves. Not injuring themselves with a spinal cord injury, mind you, but injuring themselves nonetheless, and unfortunately, her injury resulted in a spinal cord injury. Very, very strange set of circumstances, which Sarah will, of course, relate to us when she joins us here. And since her injury, she went on to discover sled hockey, and this year she trekked across the country to New York City for both love and for her IT career. So, stay tuned for Sarah in a few minutes. But first, I have a couple things I want to talk about. I always do. Have you experienced theft since becoming disabled? Or have you always been disabled your whole life? And have you experienced maybe a caregiver stealing from you? Unfortunately, that happened to me, you guys, at the beginning of December. A little bit right after I recorded the last show, I hired this girl who has turned out to be a thief, you know, and it's so disheartening. I hope it never happened to you or has happened to you, or I hope it never does happen to you. But if you have a PCA or you have the need of caregivers in your home, it's always critical to keep your eye out, you know. I've been hurt for 19 years and I tend to trust people a little bit too easily, maybe because I'm an epic optimist, I don't know. But I hired somebody who I thought I could trust, turned out I couldn't. She thankfully only stole something really stupid, which was a brand new bottle of Victoria's Secret lotion, the Ooh La La scent. And I noticed it was missing right after she left. And I was like, oh God, really? She's a kleptomaniac. And I had a feeling she was, because she kept coming in with new clothes from the mall all the time. And then when I finally had something new in my house, it was too much of a temptation, and she stole it. So the best way to deal with this when it happens is usually not to confront your caregiver yourself or text them. I had my agency, my PCA agency, actually do the firing, and I had them call her and just tell her actually that Tiffany was moving on to greener pastures and didn't actually tell her what we thought happened, because I don't have any proof and I still don't. It's all circumstantial. The good news is that my agency took my word for it and did let her go from the agency, because they know I haven't really done this before a lot. If you tend to cry wolf a lot and fire people all the time, your agency may not be as keen to let go of the PCA as they were in my situation. But I was felt really kind of redeemed, because it was just such a petty, stupid thing, and I really had hoped that my agency would believe me. And thank God they did. You know, what an awful time to steal from someone during Christmas. Ah. You know, speaking of which, Christmas, how was your Christmas holiday? Isn't it weird going back around family when they haven't seen you in a little bit, when you have a disability especially? They're always going to say something wacky to you, aren't they? Something kind of inappropriate, something a little bit offensive that you have to laugh off, because you want to make sure everyone has a good time, because it's Christmas and you don't want to have any fights happening at your family's house, you know? This year, I had a strange thing happen to me at my mom's house for Christmas. I have this bladder problem that's driving me crazy lately, and whenever my bladder hurts, which it seems to be a lot, my legs like to spasm and kick people. Like, they'll literally go straight ahead in front of me and kick whoever's in front of me. It's quite embarrassing. It can happen at a restaurant. It'll hit the legs of the table. It'll hit random strangers. My legs will. And of course, my legs decided to do this on Christmas. So I'm coming up behind my Uncle Paul, and the next thing I know, my legs are going crazy, hitting him, kicking him, blah, 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 blah. And they all think it's funny. And they thought I was walking or trying to move my legs. They actually thought, oh my God, your legs, they're moving. This is good news. Wow, let's sit down and have a conversation about this. And you know, you don't want to be an old miser and say, sorry guys, it's just a spasm. I'm not really moving my legs. But you don't want to be a complete depressing person. So I try to make them feel like there could be hope. Isn't that weird? Giving other people hope when it's not even their really their lives. It's just, it's kind of annoying. But I told my Uncle Charlie, he's like, oh, Tiffany, that's pretty great. Maybe you think you're getting something back now? No. Oh, God. I told him, you know, I sure wish I was. But it's just spasms, Uncle Charlie. How do you deal with your family when they say strange things about your disability? Do you try to actually explain it in detail so you can educate somebody? Or do you just kind of not really go into it because you think it's kind of a pointless cause? What do you do? I'm curious. Let me know. You know, and every Christmas I have this dream that I want to go sledding down a hill. Even if I can't walk up the hill again, someone's going to pull my ass back up. They better, right? I need a tow rope hill. A rope, you know, that it's electric and they pull it. You grab the rope and it pulls you up to the top. You know, and Sarah, the guest that we have today, she's from Minnesota too, you know, and she knows what it's like to want to get back out in the winter elements. We both have this something in common. We both grew up on a frozen lake right outside our window. And I grew up figure skating on the lake, and so did she, you know. And so Sarah ended up getting into sled hockey, and we're going to talk all about that because even though she wasn't a hockey player, she got into a new sport, which is super awesome. And we're gonna be joined by here in a second here, so why don't you hold tight? I'll bring Sarah onto the show, and you're about to learn about meet someone that I wish I could call her up and just be friends with her. That's how cool she is. So hold on tight, and she'll join us in just a second. Hello, hello, everybody. This is Tiffany Carlson, and we are doing our last podcast of the year. And so today I decided to have someone on the show that I've not really ever met in person, which is a travesty because she used to live in Minnesota, and she doesn't anymore, and she moved to New York City. She's a paraplegic, and her name is Sarah Tabor, and she is got a lot going on. She's a sled hockey player, and she's also, I would say she's a pretty good techie geek kind of girl. I don't want to say she's a geek, but she's a geek. She's a tech geek. So she's got a lot going on, and I've always wanted to talk to her in person. So this is kind of my first time talking to her. This is really awesome. So hello, Sarah. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Tiff?
Oh, I'm okay. I'm okay. It's the end of the year. I can't believe it's the end of 2012.
A year has gone by so fast. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Fast, but so busy.
It's, yeah, for me, I just remember doing my New Year's resolution, which was to eat healthier, and I kind of stuck with that this year. Did you have any resolutions that you had for this year?
My goal was to lose 10 pounds, which I did.
Yay! Hey! congratulations!
My other goal was, to uproot my life and move to New York, which was really cool, and I did. And I think the other one was to not drink as many delicious beers, which I did not do.
Hey, well, I'm glad that you failed on your last one. So let's start. I'm so excited about your move to New York City. Kind of bummed because you moved before I got to meet you and you moved there, but I'm sure you'll be back visiting. But let's start from the beginning. I know, you have a spinal cord injury, and I've been injured way longer than you have. But you've been injured, what, like 4 years or?
Yep, almost 4 years since my surgery on December 1st, 2008.
Wow. And so how did you become, you're a paraplegic, right?
Yeah, well, and it's kind of a different scenario for me. When I was visiting Germany and I had fallen in a shower, I went to a doctor and he did only an X-ray instead of an MRI. I didn't break any vertebrae or anything like that.
So you fell. So when you first fell in the shower, were you paralyzed?
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
And that's the weird part about it. I was, I laid down. I got out of the shower and I'm like, oh no, this feels so bad. I'm just gonna lay down.
Yeah.
Wake up the next day, feel terrible still, and decided to stay flat on my back. End of the day, and it doesn't feel better.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I mean, I could just go to the doctor and see what they can do or whatever.
Right.
So I went to a doctor, and he only did an X-ray, not an MRI. okay. which was kind of an oops.
Yeah.
Was no breaks in my vertebrae, but I didn't realize that I was basically smothering the cauda equina, which is actually what is considered what you would call the spinal cord area from L2 to S1.
Okay.
And I just basically smooshed it and kind of ground it a little bit, and by the time I got back to the States, problems with walking, problems with numbness, and, you know, starting to have problems with the plumbing.
Wow.
So I went to work for one day, which was totally moronic.
Wow.
They're amazingly still, didn't want to move at all, but, you know, we were just right in the middle of finishing a project, so I didn't want to, you know, take off 2 days before we're supposed to launch.
Oh, my God.
And I go to urgent care, and they're like, yeah, you should probably get an MRI.
Wow.
So I get the MRI, and they're like, oh, you're staying here. And I'm like, oh.
Wow.
Yeah, so actually, it's a technicality. I don't have a spinal cord injury, per se, because the spinal cord doesn't actually, it finishes at L1, which is something that I don't think a lot of people realize.
Yeah. No.
At L1, there is the conus, and that's the end of the spinal cord in reality.
Oh.
But past there, it's kind of like, it's like the, now this is techie, I'm really apologize.
That's okay.
But it's like from your brain down to L1, it's like a great big thick fiber optic cable.
Okay.
It's just one great big long cable, goes all the way to L1, and then it kind of tapers off there, and starts to spindle on down like a horse's tail, which is why they call it the cauda equina.
Oh!
That starts and goes into from L1, L2 area all the way through S5, which is technically your tailbone area.
Okay.
And then it starts, and that goes into your sciatic nerve, all the nerves that handle your bladder, your bowel stuff. So, it's kind of a different thing, you know.
Wow, so you, like, so you smushed it, though? So you smushed that horse's tail type of spinal cord at the end of your spinal cord?
Yeah, which is why I have kind of a weird injury. It's not at all complete.
Yeah.
But it's, like, one or two, like, I shouldn't say one or two. It's, like, a strand here, a strand there got severed.
Oh, my God.
Smushed or whatever.
Right.
So, yeah, it's kind of funny because, you know, my legs still kind of work.
Right.
But you know, only certain muscles
weird
activate and move. Yeah, and the same thing goes with sensation and that sort of thing. I feel pretty lucky about the injury that I have.
Well, right.
But it's kind of a for shorthand, I just say I have a spinal cord injury.
Well, yeah.
You know, I don't want to sit there and go into an anatomy lesson with most people.
But on
the other side of it.
Well, technically, your spinal cord is injured.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's actually not your spinal cord. It's the cauda, what do you call it?
It's the cauda equina.
So you have a cauda equina injury.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's like technicality, but I've even had to go into like this anatomical lesson with nurses and stuff. Like
oh, that. I believe it. Nurses don't know.
I just usually just stay away from it. I'd be like, yeah, spinal cord injury.
Wow. So like if you had a marker and you had to draw on your legs, like where like how the sensation is, it like stripes up and down your leg, like you got here, so you got like an inch here and then none here, or what's it like?
Instead of being like a tiger stripe, it's like leopard spot.
Oh my gosh.
For sensation, so it's like right here, and then like it's not just sensation, like I feel it when you press it, it's like I feel it and it feels cold like an icicle, or when I stub my toe, it feels like waves of electrical pain.
Right.
It varies there. When it comes to what things work, it's generally large muscle groups.
Right,
so,
right.
Like my hip flexors will work really well, but you know, anything dealing with my foot, my ankles,
none of that.
Around my knee, it's so confused.
Oh my gosh.
And this sounds a little crude, but the way I explain it is like it's like watching scrambled porn. Every so once in a while you see something really good.
Dude,
generally it's just static.
That feels the same way in my stupid right hand. I always get like some weirdness, like I can sometimes move my first finger and thumb and then it gets confused.
Yeah, and that's the kind of the big thing is, you know, a lot of people don't realize that people get spinal cord injuries really, really low.
Yeah.
And, you know, people also assume that if I'm in my wheelchair, I obviously could never walk at all.
Right.
I obviously can't feel it when you, like, look me in the leg or something like that.
Yeah, you don't be groping me. I can feel that, you pervert.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's just kind of a different thing. And, you know, my hockey friends out here kind of, they call me Daywalker because I can switch back and forth.
Yeah, they're all but super jolly, I bet.
It's cool. I mean, it's a little weird at the same time, but...
How do you walk? Do you walk with, like, crutches when you try to walk? Or?
Yeah, I can walk, like, maybe one or two steps, you know, without anything. And it's pretty painful, and it's a little scary because, you know, like, when you're running around as a kid on the playground and you run too fast, all of a sudden you twist your ankle real funny.
Yeah.
That could happen all the time for me. And,
oh, yeah.
And I fall like a pile of bricks.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the end of me. So instead I use, you know, braces around my ankles and up around my knees.
Yep.
And I use forearm crutches if I'm going around. So,
right.
Like, in Minneapolis, you might see me most of the time in my chair, but, like, if it's just to go pay for gas or something like that.
You would just take your crutches out of the car?
Right there.
Well, yeah, that's kind of convenient because it's not always for people that have to take their chair out of their car every time they get out of their car. That gets kind of old. So that's kind of nice. You can kind of do that if you can do that.
Yeah, I'm definitely lucky in that regard.
Yeah.
On the other side of it, though, one of the main reasons why I definitely use the chair more often than I use, you know, my crutches to get around, especially in the public, you know, I fell a couple of times in that nasty, and it's not last winter.
Oh, yeah.
Winter, but the winter before.
With all this, like, crazy snow, yeah.
Yeah, so I gotten snowed into my house in Minneapolis. I lived, you know, just south of you in
right.
Lake Nokomis, which is not the sticks.
No, not at all.
And I had fallen so many times.
Oh, my God.
And because of already the fact that, I don't know, I got hurt falling.
Yeah.
I got a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that you make the decision to yourself. You're like, well, which mobility device do I want to use so that I have a really productive
day?
Yeah. An effective life.
Right.
And that's the way I look at it.
And also, too, you don't want to tire yourself out just trying to get from one little point to one little point, right?
Well, yeah, that and, like, wrecking your shoulders and all that other stuff.
Right.
You know, I'm really nervous and cognizant of that.
No, you have to be.
You know, if I'm in the yard or something, I practice my walking or things like that. But, you know, it does really help keep me active and try to keep the calories. You know,
absolutely.
A little bit, yeah, because I'm moving my lower body a little bit. It's kind of the same way as if you're using the SES bike.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say that.
The
yeah.
locomotive activity, it just makes your lower body just move more.
Oh, yeah, you need to move that. It's a huge part of your body. You still have to move it, even like in adapted yoga. The whole concept is, like, you know, still embrace your lower half. Still use it as much as you can, you know?
Absolutely. I was really lucky in that regard that I have really good PT folks that, you know, hark back from when I was younger, you know, all these different stretches and things that I would do when I was an athlete, you know, they're like, do that more, but try putting a pizza pan underneath your foot and lay on the bed and your leg using the pizza pan. And I'm like,
interesting.
You're pretty smart at this.
That's pretty smart.
It was pretty good.
Have you run into, like, your parents or family members kind of going, why do you even use your wheelchair? Walk all the time. Do you have, like, people not really getting what you're trying, like, you know, it tires you out?
Oh, yeah. I think, like, part of my family is like that. The other part is like, whatever. I don't even care, Sarah. You know, just get around. Let's go hang out. Let's go do lunch.
That's awesome.
I think it's more awkward, I think, when they have to explain it to other people.
Cause yeah.
Like, we just saw Sarah. And, you know, but most of my family is pretty supportive of my, you know, of my life in general.
Yeah.
But they definitely, I'm kind of an independent person, so they definitely take a hands-off approach with me. They're like, oh, it's just Sarah. Let's just that's what she does. She's her own woman.
So, you know, that's so crazy. I've never met anyone with such a strange, very incomplete injury as yours. I one time met a guy that could not move his arms at all and could move his legs. He was an upside down quadriplegic, and that was crazy.
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
Yeah, but the spinal cord is
kind of, you know, what's funny is there's a million different ways. I've met so many people. I've actually met another person who got hurt in the shower, and I call it the life alert injury.
The life alert injury.
It's totally what they advertise in those commercials.
it's true.
but yeah, that's, you know, I've met other people, especially online, and, you know, it's just kind of funny because we're all snowflakes. It's kind of creepy.
Well, you know, and I felt bad because when you first hear about someone falling in the shower, you're like, oh, that's some crappy luck. That should be an easy thing to do, but really it's a kind of a dangerous thing. You're walking on slippery tile, you know what I mean?
Oh, totally. It's something that, you know what though, on the other side of it, I'm happy that it happened in the shower, because it's something you do. You have to take a shower, right? Otherwise, ew, gross.
Yeah,
home.
No.
Go take a shower.
Yeah. So you can't feel like you did anything too crazy, right, that you regret?
No. I mean, on the other side of it, I wish I had, like, some cool, crazy story. Like, yeah, it was, like, chainsawing while I was shooting, and oof, you know. I always feel bad because I've got the grandma story.
It's crazy.
On the other side of it, like, I don't have anybody to blame, and I don't have anybody to, you know, I don't feel angry at myself.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, Sarah, you have to take a shower. What do you do about it?
You just take a shower. That's just some really bad luck. That's all that is. Really.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's one of those things where you sit back and you look at your life, you're like, I could have gotten hurt a million other ways.
Yeah.
Did not think the shower was going
to
do it to me.
It sucks so much. So, you know, it's interesting for you because you're kind of walking and then you're in a wheelchair and you're walking, you know, so you really can kind of see how people treat you differently when you're in a wheelchair, right?
Yeah, totally. I think, you know, it's more pronounced here in New York.
Yeah, do tell. I'm fascinated by that.
Oh, it's completely different. I mean, in Minnesota, you know, people have a tendency to be a lot more reserved, but right. They do stare at you.
Oh, yeah.
They'll kind of look at you. Even when I'm standing, actually, people seem a lot more like, oh, God, I need to help her right now. I walk you with my crutches, and I'm like, does it look that awkward?
Oh, gosh, okay. It sucks.
but maybe it's because, you know, when I was in Minnesota, you know, I went to the same places every day. That was my Target. That was my Home Depot.
Right.
That was my Caribou. And, you know, they knew me as, you know, a strong, independent woman.
Right.
I don't need no peoples or whatever.
Right.
But on the other side of it, like, people would still open the door for me. They don't have, like, awkward glances, and you still have, like, you know, the discussion with kids.
Right.
And kids are actually, like, a lot more cooler about it.
Yeah, they are.
I was at one of my favorite faux places, which I miss insanely.
What?
This little girl comes up to me, and she's like, I really like your chair. It's so sparkly. And I'm like,
aww.
You know, and then the difference out here, I think, is, and it's the culture thing again. You know, Minnesotans tend to be a lot more reserved.
Yeah, they do.
And New Yorkers way more forward.
Yes.
But, I don't really know how to describe it. It's just people are a little bit more forward to help me.
In New York?
To the point of scaring me. Yeah, to the point of, like, startling me.
Like they'll grab they'll grab your chair without asking?
Yeah. So I purposely have the handles off of the back of my chair.
Yep.
I am not having any of that.
Yeah, no, a lot of people do that, yeah.
But, like, I was coming home on the train, and a guy grabbed me from behind.
Oh, my gosh.
And this was right after that whole New York Post thing where the guy fallen off the edge, so I was, like,
oh, yeah.
Super scared of the edge.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah.
And so he grabs my bag. He's trying to grab onto where my handles would be. I think he's trying to rob me because I've got, you know, my laptop on my back and everything like that on the back of my chair.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. So I turn around and I look at him. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm trying to help you get on the train.
Wow. Well, ask me first.
Well, I'm like, why? And he's like, well, you know, F off, you know, and
what?
You know, swore obscenely bad things at me.
Well, because you asked him why he was helping you. Wow.
And I was just, like, dumbfounded. I'm like, what just happened?
Oh, my God.
And it was so scary because he got me really close to the edge of platform, and if I didn't catch him, if I didn't understand what was going on,
oh, Sarah,
you know, so it's definitely a little bit, they're much more forward, but there's also, Tiff, there's a lot more people.
Right.
The likelihood you're going to come into, like, a total jerkwad is, the probability is higher.
Right, by mathematics, yes.
Yeah, so that's kind of the, that's the deal out here, I guess.
Okay. So, you know, it's crazy. Well, let's talk about, you know, what brought you out to New York City, which was a job, right?
Yeah. Well, that and, you know, I had some life changes. Yeah. I had some romantic changes.
Okay.
Yeah. But I came out to New York, and I still work for the Nerdery. And
yeah, let's talk about what you do, the Nerdery. You know, it's a pretty cool place here in Minneapolis, which is like an IT place, basically.
Yeah, well, they're not necessarily IT. They're like software. They're like website development.
Okay.
I'm such a technical.
This is good. No, tell me.
Person.
Yeah.
But I was a QA manager for them, and you know they were the first place to give me a job after I got hurt.
Okay.
I was going through rehab.
Right. Where did
and
you?
I was laid off by my company while going through rehab.
Oh.
And so, you know, for the first year, I didn't have a job and, you know, living off of savings and that sort of thing.
Oh, stressful.
Nerdery was the first place that, you know, now that I think about it, didn't, you know, discriminate against me.
Really?
I would go into a few other job interviews.
Yeah.
I always had this weird feeling until later I had it confirmed by somebody else. And they're like, yeah, that they were totally
weirded out by the wheelchair.
Eyeballing you. Yeah. But my company, the company Nerdery, when I was there, I started off as a contract QA engineer.
Okay.
You know, just seeing if I could work again. I was still taking naps in my car. I probably went back to work maybe a little earlier than I should have.
Right.
But it was really good.
Like full-time hours?
Yeah, full-time hours.
Cool. How long?
And it's not necessarily like full-time, you know, 40-hour weeks. Some days you work maybe 12 hours a day. Some days you might work 6 hours a day.
Okay.
And it kind of fluctuates based off of the release of different products. But
yeah.
I went from, you know, being a contract QA engineer with me and another guy who I'm good friends with. He's like my brother from another mother. And my manager and two other people. And I think now the department is in like the 40-person range.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just amazing. They really value testing and
that's so cool.
Website development, they're really cool. You can bring in your dogs.
I know. They have like the coolest like break room with like arcade games, don't they? Like arcade machines in there.
Yeah, they have all kinds of stuff.
And
really, like there's different pods that have different video games. So you can go and sit down and play Xbox or Super Nintendo.
Wow.
You can go get a beer after work.
What?
Totally awesome.
Oh, my God.
And you know what, too, it's really a huge place where you can grow up. You can become better. You become, you know, better at your craft.
That's
and
so cool.
They're cool with that. They want you to get better.
And you don't work for them anymore, though, right?
No, I got a job offer from a company in Manhattan, and that was a really big, like, shift for me, because I was like, okay, I'm working from home for Nerdery.
Yeah.
I am very happy and comfortable in my working from home life.
Mm-hmm.
I get up, I turn over, open up the laptop, that's how I start working.
And you're a programmer, essentially, or...
Yeah, well, I do, it's very similar to programming. I basically break websites for a living.
Oh.
So the programmers make the websites, I sit there and just break their hearts all day long. Not break their hearts, you know, break their code. But what's good about that is they go and make it better.
Okay, okay.
So that it releases with zero bugs.
I see,
Yeah. So then I got this offer, and Nerdery is super kind at letting me out of my contract, but also, you know, it was a huge shift for me. It was just, this is like commuting into the city without my car, without like a way to get home. Oh. If I have to change, what if something happens? I have a huge laptop backpack on the back of my chair. Oh, God, how do I commute, you know?
Oh, my God, so...
And so, you know, I was in there, like, explaining all my worries to them, and yeah. I was like, I don't know what it's going to be like in the winter pushing through the city.
Right.
You know, I don't know what that's going to be like. And they were super kind and helped me out with everything, and so we struck up a deal. I can work from home 2 days a week.
Wow.
And I go into the city 3 days a week, and uh-huh. It's kind of cool because, you know, I get to go, it's a long commute.
Right.
It's way longer than Nerdery.
Okay.
But it's nice because I get to work in the Flatiron District in Chelsea, which
yeah.
is so uber cool.
Right. Isn't that where they have the elevated, like, train tracks? They made them into gardens?
No, that's on the other side of the other side of Manhattan.
Okay.
I'm still learning my Manhattan.
Okay, yeah.
This is near Fifth Avenue, and Tiff, you would die.
Really?
So amazing. Mm-hmm. You would just sit there on the corner and just, I mean, first of all, food trucks everywhere.
Yeah.
Second of all, the sidewalks there are just a fashion show. Just people march past, and you're like, oh, I want those shoes. Oh, I want that top.
Have you gotten more clothes because of that?
I have to confess, I got my ass into a Michael Kors store, like, hooker by crook. I was like, I'm getting in there. I don't even care. So I got in there, mm-hmm. and I have these amazing new pair of black wedge pumps, which I'm looking at right now.
Ooh.
They are so pretty.
Really?
Yeah, if I could. They're so comfortable, too. Amazingly comfortable. And I want to wear them all the time, but I really... I'm a t-shirt and jeans kind of girl. I can't sit there and wear nice, super uber nice pumps.
I'm so glad you wore them, though. You have to wear them out when you have special, you know, it's for date nights or whatever, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, that and, like,
holiday parties.
Yeah. So, I have to confess, I have given in to the charms of Fifth Avenue. It's beautiful.
I can't believe it. I can't believe you fell into those charms. I'm kind of shocked, actually.
No, I'm saving up my money to come back to Minnesota with a 0% sales tax on clothing. Oh, my God.
So,
yeah, it's pretty cool being able to commute into the city, and then the other day is just chill at home. You know, it's a nice balance.
I love that you're able to find, you can experience New York's life. Where, you know, a romantic endeavor brought you there, and then did you always kind of want to try New York City, though, at some point?
I love living in big cities.
Yeah.
I've lived in London before, which was awesome.
Oh, my God, jealous.
Yeah, it's fantastic. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's one of those things where eventually I always feel like I'll go back to Minneapolis because it's comfortable. It's super comfortable.
Well, it's very livable. It's a very livable city, so.
Yeah, it's livable except for, like, the whole... No.
Well, yeah, when it's snowy, you just don't go outside of your house. They need a job like yours or mine. And if you don't, then it's not that livable. Yeah.
No, exactly. But, yeah, I mean, my job affords me to live in most cities for, like, the career path that I chose.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I just decided, you know what, let's do it. I'm relatively, you know, okay with big changes like that.
Yeah.
But I always have to, like, prepare in advance. So it's like... we're going to have a garage sale, like, 6 times. We're going to sell everything. And this is going to be perfectly aligned. So it was an amazing move. But, I'm pretty happy out here.
And how's the overall accessibility that you found in Manhattan, tooling around in your chair? Is it pretty okay?
It depends from neighborhood to neighborhood.
Okay.
So I get off in Penn Station.
Yeah.
If you're a wheelchair user who doesn't know Penn Station, mm-hmm. The first thing that you will get used to is the smell of pee.
Like, what?
And people pee. People literally pee in the elevators.
God, that's so sad.
I was like, come on, nobody actually does pee.
What's
and
wrong?
And you get in there and you see a puddle and you're like, please don't let that be pee.
It is pee.
Please don't let that be pee.
You're in Manhattan. Of course it's going to be pee in the elevator.
It's absolutely pee.
Oh, God.
I mean, the accessibility is okay. Where I work in Midtown, mm-hmm. I commute probably about 12 blocks south of there, and there's curb cuts on almost every single street.
All right,
there's
that's good.
Only one corner that there isn't one.
Okay.
Getting into most of the stores is sometimes tricky, but...
Because
the way to look at it is, like, if I can't get into it, you're not getting my business.
Well, that's what my friend did in Paris. In Paris, it was the same thing. Isn't there, like, a little step, though, that you can bump up sometimes?
Yeah, there's sometimes a step, like, that's how I got into Michael Kors.
Okay.
I had this, like, tuxedoed security guard grab onto my glove, you know, my gloved hand, and, like, give me a boost.
Oh, my God.
Like, what? And then there's other places that there's a Sephora in the city that makes me feel a little embarrassed because they have, like, a one-step elevator.
What?
And I'm like...
That is so old school.
And they're all like, oh, let's find the guy who knows how to operate the thing. I'm like, just give me the key. I know how to operate it, for crying out loud. And then, you know, going back out, they're like, well, we got to find the guy with the key again. I'm like, screw this. I'm just going to go down the step. I hope you don't mind. The guy was, he was like stunned. He's like, oh, God, are you okay?
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I have to go back to work. I don't feel like waiting for you guys.
Yeah, it's kind of been, it gets old after a while. You know, you found these accessible subway stations now. Is not everyone's accessible, right?
Well, that's the problem is, you know, in the spring I plan on moving to Queens or Brooklyn.
Oh, cool.
Manhattan is kind of out of the range for us because it's like you still need to drive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still need to drive in order to get to hockey or skiing or any of these cool things that I like to do. So it's generally going to be one of the two boroughs.
Because you need parking, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't feel like parking my Subaru Outback that's 12 or 10 years old by now, you know, and paying something like $500 a month to park the stupid thing.
Oh, my God, no. Yeah. Ugh, can you imagine?
I think that's actually cheap, Tiff. That might be on the cheap side.
Well, your income, though, you get paid more if you live out there, right? Is that the idea?
Yeah, but I can't sit there and tell myself $500 for that 10-year-old car.
Hell no.
So, and plus I like having a more neighborhoody feel, you know.
Oh, yeah.
South Minneapolis is great, you know.
Yeah,
I had pheasants going through my yard.
And oh, you did? That's sweet.
I could walk down, you know, a block and a half and be at Lake Nokomis. So
oh, yeah.
I like having a neighborhood feel.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to figure out how to get on the trains in and I don't think you can get on the trains in Queens.
Oh, my lordy.
And then they're like, okay, here is the only accessible train station, and right next to it is the Projects. Well, not that neighborhood, so then you move on to the next neighborhood. Okay, let's take a look around here. I think in Brooklyn there's something only like, I want to say like 17-18% of train stations are accessible.
Wow.
Which, I maybe could sneak it. I snuck it once on an escalator, which is super scary.
Yeah, and dangerous.
I know it's dangerous. Don't tell my mother. don't stop listening to this. Okay, the thing is, I'm kind of really bummed out by that because...
Yeah, it's sad.
I'm perfectly fine with taking public transportation. I love taking public transportation in London.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's just a really big bummer.
Wow.
I've taken taxis, which you can't hail a taxi for the life of you.
No, they won't stop.
They will not stop. They don't stop. But they have a subscription service that you can, you know, call or use an iPhone app or use online. I've had mixed success with it. One time it gave me 20 minutes late for no reason, and the taxi driver comes and picks me up. I'm like, where were you? You're late. I've already missed my train. And
he's
like, I've been sitting around for 20 minutes. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Wow.
He's like, yeah, I was maybe six blocks away.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not perfect.
No.
But on the other side of it, it's just kind of the cool factor of living in the city.
Well,
being in the city, I think that's a big thing. Plus, reduction of commute. You know, where I live right now is kind of, you know, the easy, you know, easy landing type of a thing for moving out here.
Right.
But yeah, I need to get my hands dirty a little bit more.
Well, you know, when you move to a city like that, you know, people with disabilities, they always like to integrate and find a disability community there and meet people there, and then they can kind of show you the ropes. Have you done that? Through your sled hockey, and I mean, let's talk about that a little bit.
Oh, totally. So there's two guys on my hockey team. Victor Khaleesi, who is on the New York City's, he works in the, oh, crap, I should have remembered this. But he worked for the city, you okay. know, dealing with people with disabilities.
Okay.
And another friend of mine, Billy Hannigan, who lives kind of where I do in Kingston, the city, he works with the Wounded Warrior Project.
Oh.
With, you know, Wheelchair Sports Federation, that sort of thing.
Very so, cool.
Yeah, and, you know, just knowing and getting to know more people out here.
Are they living in Manhattan, too, and in the city? Is there a lot of wheelchair users there to, like, to meet?
Yeah, there's a, well, there's a lot of wheelchair users in general, and, you know, there's a lot of, like, scooter users, but there's also people that are, like, you know, using wheelchairs, or they, I see a mobility van parked, and I'm like, wow, yeah. Yeah, I'm cooled out by this in a way, because in Minnesota, you might be, like, the only person you see all week, you
oh.
yourself.
Oh, no, it's so true.
So, it's kind of cool, but,
it's nice. It's
you
nice.
Know, the nice thing is I can go up to these guys who have met through hockey
yep,
or
yep.
sports and be like, how do I take the train? I feel stupid for asking this,
yeah.
but, you know, and they give you pointers, things like, you know, sit in this car versus that car.
Okay.
Get on at this station so you can get off at that station without needing the ramp and this kind of thing.
Yeah, and these people have been living in the in that area for years, so they, and it can be done. It can be done.
Oh, yeah. They've grown up out here, and they're used to it, so that really helps. But, yeah, sled hockey.
Yeah, you know, you're from, you know, let's go back. You must got involved in it now when you were in Minnesota, right?
Yeah. So I went on this site called Aparalyzed, which is a forum.
Oh, I know that website. Simon runs it. He's a good guy.
Yes. Yeah, he's solid. I don't know. The whole place is just wonderful. And, you know, that's something that, you know, I got to talk to you eventually about, like, becoming disabled in the information age.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
When I was hurt, I had my laptop in the hospital with free Wi-Fi.
Oh, my gosh,
and
yeah.
I just sat there and learned.
Yeah.
And one of the things I learned about was sled hockey.
Yeah.
There was a woman that is on the Minnesota Northern team.
Okay.
Who plays in Richfield, I believe.
Okay.
They also play in Badness Heights.
Badness Heights, yeah.
Yeah, I always forget how to say that.
It's Badness Heights. It's where I'm from that area, actually.
Oh, cool. I'm totally embarrassed now. I have no idea how to say so they play in the cities there, and then they're actually starting up a Duluth team, I believe.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. Which is totally awesome. And, yeah, I started playing. You know, I contacted her. I'm like, you know, I just kind of want to try this.
So,
and the reason for it was I used to bike ride all through the city.
Okay.
I was one of those hipster.
You were.
I was. I'm just super hipster because I never converted my Schwinn into a fixie. I have like strong feelings about that. But yeah, I mean, I used to zip through the city. You know, talk about other ways I should have gotten hurt.
I mean, how
many times have I been on like Hennepin Avenue cycling down? Or
oh yeah.
6th Avenue or something like that.
Yeah.
Almost get nailed by somebody.
Oh yeah, all the time.
Yeah, but, you know, I got hooked up with Kerr Center's bicycling group.
Okay.
And, which was great, except it was not the same. You know, I used cycling as pure utility.
Right.
You know, bike to the coffee shop, then bike over here, then bike there.
Oh, yeah.
You, basically, once you're on your bike, you are on your bike.
I know, you can't bring your wheelchair with you.
Well, you can, but there's some convoluted way that I read on the internet.
Oh.
But I was like, oh, no, this isn't the same. It's nice, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I need something 180 degrees different.
Yeah.
So that's where I started playing hockey.
I like that.
So the first year, my entire goal was to stay upright in my sled.
Okay.
and I got to the end of the first year, and I was pretty decent at staying upright in my sled.
Wow.
But the second year was don't be the slowest person at practice. And I think, which sounds kind of mean, but every single time when I was at practice, I'd push myself harder and harder and harder.
Yeah.
And, you know, got a better sled and, you know, that sort of thing.
That's crazy.
I loved it, and I was so happy that when I came out here, there's actually two teams that I play on. There's a Long Island-based team called the Rough Riders.
Yeah.
And then there's the Rangers team, which plays in the Northeast Sled Hockey League.
Now, did you play hockey on your 2 feet or anything like that before you got hurt?
No, but it was like, you know, when you grow up in outstate Minnesota on you know, a lake. You know, your parents go out and clear a spot on the lake.
So we did that too.
You learn ice skating.
Yeah, so you know how to ice skate. So when you hopped in that sled, you know, the hand cycle didn't compare to bicycling, but how did the sled hockey hold up?
It was cool. It was totally different.
Okay.
But it was nice because once I figured out how to not fall over all the time.
Right.
I got to go really fast, and I got to really, really fast.
Then
I got to slam into people.
How do you get really fast on those things?
I think the big thing is adjusting your sled to make sure it fits you is the key thing.
Cool.
And there's a few different spots where you can adjust it. The big thing is the blades.
Right.
So bringing the blades in or out or
how fun.
Front to back, you know, helps your balance out a lot.
Right.
So the idea is bringing your blades in closer to each other.
And then you have these little short little outriggers that you use to get to push yourself around, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we have hockey sticks. They're not quite the same style as regular hockey sticks. So, like, if you're a sled hockey player, you can't just, like, mow off, you know, a stick of a regular hockey stick.
Okay.
You have to use a regular, you have to use special sticks.
Oh, okay.
On the other side, that they kind of look like ice skating picks.
Oh,
so
when
you use figure skates, you have the front of the toe pick.
Oh, yeah,
right?
The toe pick.
Same type of thing, except that's what propels you, and you basically are using a lot of your pectoral, traps, biceps, and triceps to propel yourself and to move. When you move, you actually lean down and in, and you kind of brush your wrist against the ice.
Oh, okay.
So, so you have two sticks. Each of them has little spiky bits on it, and the other side has the hockey blades on them.
Okay.
And you basically drop the stick while you're still also propelling yourself, while you're dealing with, you know, other players coming at you and that sort of thing, and you drop the stick in order to play the puck.
Oh, weird. So, okay.
Yeah, it's a weird coordination dance, especially when you're still trying to stay upright.
Oh, my God. So you really have to practice to not fall over. Are they really that tippy?
They're tippy at first. I think the big thing is when I first got in the sled, my abs were not very strong.
Oh.
My back muscles were totally shot.
Okay.
So, you know, that's a big thing, but it's really good because you have to kind of move yourself to stop, to turn. You use your ab muscles.
Do you feel like you're skating a little? Like, do you really feel like you're skating when you're in one of those?
It's not really skating. Like, stand-up skating is kind of like gliding.
Weird.
Like I could imagine the same feeling if I tried Nordic skiing. It's
kind
of like, you know, you just close your eyes and you pull on your sticks and it's like you're gliding across the ice like a bird or something like that.
And plus you can hear your blade in the ice, so it does, I mean, that sounds like it'd be kind of fun. I kind of miss being out on the ice, you know?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And that's the thing is, even if you are a quad or you have CP, you can still play sled hockey.
How would I play?
Yeah, you can totally still play.
How, but I don't have abs or back muscles. I would probably tip over a lot, or no?
Well, you would probably get a pusher because especially you use your ab muscles even to propel yourself. You lean forward and pull back.
Oh, yeah.
But the pusher actually just worries about the propelling thing.
Okay.
You make sure that you can manage the puck.
Oh, okay.
I've seen people without hands play.
Really?
So, it's pretty cool.
It's too bad. I kind of want to propel myself on the ice without a pusher, though. That's too bad.
Well, I would totally do it then. You know, at the very least, they just put a higher back in there so that you're not so tippy.
Yeah.
And you'd be ready to rock. I mean, I've seen every ability, including able-bodied people, which is really cool.
Like, oh, yeah?
You can bring your able-bodied friends and go hang out on the ice.
That's
for a while.
I love that.
And they always get, like, all worked up because they're like, how do these things operate? You know, it's actually pretty awesome because you're, like, skating circles around. Come on, hurry up.
And there's not a lot of girls or females in that play sled hockey?
Well, there's more and more. I mean, in USA Hockey alone, there's been a massive influx of women starting to play hockey just within the last, you know, 8 to 10 years, which is really cool.
That's awesome.
In Minnesota, we had, I think you know Rose Hollerman.
Rose, awesome.
Yep, she was playing, and there's another woman named Wendy on our team.
Oh.
You're in New York. There is two women on my team, mm-hmm. and I think in Connecticut there's at least two women on their team. So you find them kind of sprinkled in with the team, but okay. it's not like co-ed, you know.
But, you know, despite the growing female numbers, the women cannot play in the Paralympic team, is that correct?
Yeah, and that's something that the New York Times story got a little mixed up over.
I know.
I said I want to play on the women's national team.
Right, and that's what for people listening out there, Sarah, you were in a New York Times article that was published the other day about sled hockey.
Yeah, it was a little embarrassing because it felt like I sounded like a total ditz, but it was really cool. I'm super happy that they came out, and
yes.
regardless, they thought that we could. We were able to go and play in the Paralympic Games, but
no.
there's not enough players, female players, to constitute a national
team. Yeah.
in multiple countries, not
right.
just like USA and Canada,
right.
and Sweden. There needs to be more women involved in
okay.
order to have that
okay.
happen, and they're not allowed on the men's Paralympic team.
Okay. Well, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Maybe one day, though.
Yeah, it was really cool to see.
I know. How did the New York Times get in touch with you to do the story?
They just showed up.
What?
I think the guys, the organizers on my team, you know, organized, you know, the New York Times to come on out.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. I was just like, I was totally cooled out by it. But then I started noticing, like, they really wanted to hang out with me and
why?
Were taking a lot of pictures. And I'm like, okay.
Because you were the female.
Yeah, exactly. They wanted to make it a big deal that I was a girl. And, you know, for me, I just look at myself as an athlete.
Right.
Even on the ice, I swear, like, a sailor. You know? But there's it's kind of a cool thing. It's not like,
I love the photo. The photo they took of you is great, by the way.
Well, there's one that I was like, I wish I had my hair done. And then they took a picture of me braiding my hair. I'm like, cool, I was doing my hair.
That's awesome.
But, yeah, it's kind of cool because it's not necessarily that the guys are, it's not like you try to get under their skin.
Yeah.
But you try to use whatever you can when you're on the ice to kind of mess with them. So
mm-hmm.
even if that means maybe putting on some mascara and eyeliner, I do it. I
Why?
Ice when I'm on the ice, you know, even if I get off the ice and my, you know, everything is all nasty. And
yeah.
looking, I like looking girly out there and showing off to the guys, especially when I take off and grab the puck real fast and get away from them, or I check them into the boards. See that coming.
I think that's awesome.
No, it's kind of cool. But in general, you know, the guys don't really make a big deal out of having women on the team.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only time that they're a little bit more cognizant is like locker room talk and that sort of thing. Not quite as nasty. But yeah, the thing is, you know, I'm in my third season, although they kept saying I was a rookie. I'm like, I'm not a rookie.
Maybe to them they think you are still.
I'm a rookie on the Rangers.
Yeah, the Rangers.
That's where it was mixed up. But yeah, I talked to a couple other players, and they're like, you know, it's such a rare type of sport that it's not one that sports writers really know about, like how the equipment works.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. So, I mean, that's one thing is the sport is growing leaps and bounds. I mean, just having the new Duluth team is going to be huge. And, like,
yeah.
one of the biggest cities for hockey, of course, there should be a hockey team. But even here in New York, it just sometimes feels like there should be more people playing because there's so many disabled people.
Well, yeah, and I think a lot of people don't really probably realize how fun the sport is. You know, you first see it at first glance, you're so low to the ice, you're like, oh my God, what is that all about, you know? But
yeah, it's pretty intense because you can't see up really into the boards at all,
yeah.
like into the crowd at all. You just see the boards and the boards kind of surround you.
Wow.
So it's on the other side of it, though, it's like, the best way I can describe it is like demolition derby meets hockey. You just smash into people.
That's like, so fun.
How many other times can you sit there and legitimately say, hey, I get to smash into other disabled people today for fun? You know, it sounds a little crass, but on the other side of it, you're like, oh, whatever. You know, it's kind of a cute little joke that hockey players make.
I think it's great.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
And
it kind of made me a lot more fearless when it came to other sports.
Yeah.
Last year, I tried skiing, which was amazing.
Isn't it fun? Oh, it's so
fun. Every time I go skiing, Tiffany, it's like, I feel like I'm cheating on hockey a little bit. A little dirty. Like, oh, great. And it was cool, too, because in Minneapolis, I was 10 minutes from the hill.
Oh.
Like, you know the little bump that's Highland Hills?
Yes, I know.
You're away for a good mountain.
Yeah.
But here, I haven't gone skiing yet. Actually, there's no snow on the ground here.
No? What?
Yeah, it kind of feels like I'm in the perpetual state of the first week of November.
Weird.
It hasn't snowed at all. It's been really nice.
Oh, it's good for you, though.
Yeah. I think we have leaves on the trees until, like, way beyond the first snow. So I'm sitting here like,
wow.
When is winter going to start?
Don't you think that skiing really is one of those sports that transfers pretty well to adaptive stuff? Like, I feel like it's almost just as fun.
Oh, it's so awesome. I mean, The big thing is when I started learning, and seriously, fantastic instructors.
Really?
Yeah.
At the Courage Center?
Yeah, Courage Center has really sweet guys. There's a guy named Eric who totally got me, you know, from trying to get, like, flustered getting onto
the lift.
Ski lift.
Yeah.
Being scared. Seriously afraid of the bunny hill. And more like afraid of running into children. to going down the most difficult slopes at Highland by myself.
Yeah.
I mean, the only skill I didn't learn because we had a terrible snow winter was getting on the lift properly by myself.
Right.
But everything else I did all alone.
That's so cool. I'm jealous.
Well, the whole time too, it was like they're like, Stop playing hockey.
What?
You don't have to be so aggressive. You
what?
Don't have to, you know, turn your body like that. You know, and I do a hockey stop. They're like,
oh.
I spin around like a top and then I fall over. And they're like, hockey, a gentle hockey stop.
A gentle hockey stop.
Not so much of the hip. So, but yeah,
I love that.
It's really cool because it's something where I keep trying all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's so cool.
I might not be like the best person at it, but it's a blast.
I love that you're been, you know, you seem like you've been trying this to be as positive and just to do as much as you can, you know, despite what is a really stupid injury, you know, like we all have our own stupid injuries, you know.
Well, and I don't really consider myself an optimist.
Yeah.
Or really that positive.
It's realist, maybe?
It's more like, you know what, I'm just going to get stuff done and screw y'all.
Yeah,
I have stuff I have to get done.
Yeah, yeah. Practicality, then.
And that's something that's just like, I have my own internal motivating engine, and I've had hard stuff happen to me before.
Yeah.
Had other health things happen to me before.
Yeah.
But I don't really care. I just am like, you know what, I'm going to try this, or... Yeah. Oh, God, I have to figure out how to pay rent. I really should start working again. And, you know, or the next thing is, I'm going to try for that project. And, you know, I'm going to try to get that guy to notice me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really bother me. I don't ever down-talk myself that much.
That's wonderful.
I try not to get in that loop. And that's kind of the big thing is, like, a healthy dose of realism.
Yeah.
I sit there and think, if you're going to be positive and cheerful all day, this, you know, it without any engine behind it, then it's just kind of pointless.
Well, true.
Yeah, plus I break websites. I tend to be a skeptical person.
Yeah.
I sit there and be like, okay, I could really get hurt, you know, or, you know. But on the other side of it, I just sit there and plot everything back out, and if I can think of things that have a due process.
Yeah.
Oh, I can get from A to Z. You know, if I'm going to get down this hill, I'm going to do this. If I can plot it all out, it makes me a lot more brave, I think.
I
would say myself is, I'm not inspirational by any means or positive.
No.
I'm definitely, you know, I can be kind of, you know, I get down if I have a really bad day or I get super frustrated and, you know, somebody tries to push me onto the train.
Right.
Without my knowing.
Or, you know, wouldn't it be nice just to be able to walk several blocks or whatever, you know, go up the stairs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, going, being able to not fall. Like, when I fell outside my house, of course, I'm going to have a bad day.
Yes.
I'd cry a little bit, peel off all my cold clothes and have a bath and be pity for a while, but whatever. You know, on the other side of it, though, I'm just like, most days, I just have to get up and get going, and that's the end of it.
That's how it is, because that's about life. We just got to keep pushing on. That's all you have. That's all you can do.
Exactly.
I mean, there's really no secret to it, is there?
I think the secret is allow yourself 1 year to get a handle of this,
yeah.
get a hold of yourself.
Yeah.
And on the other side of it, just plan. Even if your plan's going to dust,
yeah.
at minimum, you're keeping your brain actively thinking about things that will put
What's
you
next?
In a progressive direction.
Right.
Rather
right.
than, you know, allowing yourself.
Just to be there.
You know, it's kind of like dieting. Allow yourself a chocolate every so once in a while, or a beer or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, allow yourself a pity day where you just snot into the tub, you know.
Right. Oh, yeah, you totally.
Know, you should allow yourself to do that and be happy that you have that output.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as long as, I mean, I try all these sports.
I know.
Made this big move, and I've gone from being a contract QA engineer to a QA director at this marketing agency.
Yeah, super awesome.
There's no secret. It's just, you got to do it. You just got to push yourself out and get going.
And no excuse, and no excuses, it sounds like.
Well, every so once in a while, I will use the snow and the cold. Oh, God, I don't want to go out. But, yeah, generally, no excuses. Just get out there and get it done.
If everybody with a spinal cord injury, you know, or any kind of injury to their spinal cord kind of decided, you know, just to kind of get back into their, you know, not everyone has the wherewithal to do kind of what you did. And even though you're not inspirational, you do show that it can be done if you just put your mind to it. You can go back to work relatively soon. I mean, you can't let your emotions completely take you over and make you emotional wreck. I mean, because if you do just keep thinking and dwelling on what you lost, then it can really kind of put you in a bad place, you know.
Well, right. And granted, there's a lot of luck behind me. You know, I had a career that I did before I got hurt that I could do after I got hurt.
Right, right.
I met guys when I was in rehab who were construction managers or whatever,
yeah.
and I'm like,
oh, yeah.
cool.
That's
what
tough.
What do you do now?
I know. Those are the people that really kind of have a hard time to.
But on the other side of it, there's a lot of resources out there. There's the internet in general.
Right.
We're desperate to hire any programmers, any QA engineers.
Yeah.
Really, anybody who doesn't mind sitting on their butt and sitting in front of a computer. And, hey, I got the first part down. But
Love
I think
it.
The big thing is,
yeah.
you know, if you are looking for something to do, the computer is there, you know, ready
yep.
for you. You can sit there and putz off and,
yep.
you know, read 4chan or Reddit till the cows come home.
It's
going to really be a productive use of your time? No.
Mm-hmm.
How about learning something else, like Photoshop?
Right.
You feel like adding kittens and rainbows and unicorns to all your stuff. Learning those skills.
Yeah, before you know it, you have a marketable skill is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, learning programming, for instance. I know Nerdery is in the middle of trying to hire 100 nerds in 100 days.
Wow,
and
really?
They're hiring in, I think, Minneapolis and Chicago, and I think other locations, too.
Really?
And I, in New York, have been fighting to find good QA engineers to hire. Like,
really?
I've been through a lot of interviews, and nobody's been just right.
Oh.
I think the big thing is it's a field that you can get a job in, you can work from home.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to work from home, it's a place that it's generally a younger population.
Yep.
They're not going to be nearly as critical to you as you might think. And
yep.
it's a lot easier to get back in the workforce. Managers are pretty relaxed and understanding. You can wear jeans if you want to, or maybe if you need to take off a little early for a doctor's appointment, that's cool.
Just love that.
Yeah, that's one thing. God, if anybody out there is listening who's thinking about a career, please, please go into computer science.
But, you know, I've talked to some guys in chairs, though, and they're like, they told me after I broke my neck that I got to sit in front of a computer for the rest of my life, and I didn't want to do that, so, and I decided to be an artist, you know. And there are people like that out there that just can't stand the computer. But,
yeah, totally. I get that.
Yeah.
Trust me, that's how I have a job.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But, you know, you can provide yourself a very, very good living getting into computer science, though, which is something to think about. Yeah.
Yeah, but even if you don't go into computer science, like, maybe you're really good with people.
Yeah.
But you don't like dealing with computers. hey, go be a project manager.
Yeah.
Be an account director or something. If you are interested in construction, you know, maybe you should be, an ADA consultant at a construction company.
Totally.
You know, a place in town that happens to be hiring.
Yeah.
You know, I think the big thing is being creative with your career and following each opportunity that's handed to you instead of, you know, laying there and just be like, oh, screw it, nothing's going to come my way.
So true.
I'm not even going to bother.
It's so true. It's so true. I love this. Sarah, you are a fountain of information. We're running a lot on time here. I think before I let you go, I just want to see, what are your plans for, now we're at the end of the year here, what are your resolutions for 2013?
Oh, my goodness. Let's see here.
Yeah.
I have to sit there and announce them. Right, for the whole internet.
Yes, you do. You can announce one minor resolution if you'd rather do that.
I think the big thing is to continue working out and staying healthy.
All right. Healthy living.
Moving closer to the city.
Okay.
And pick an unrealistic one. I think getting rid of the beer again would be...
getting rid of the beer again.
I think the big thing is to travel more. I love traveling.
Yeah,
so this year is going to be the year that I start seeing everybody and seeing everything in the world.
Oh my God, that's a wonderful resolution. I think my resolution is to keep eating healthy as well. And for me, I think I'm going to try to build up my bone density. This is 2013's the year for me to do that. I'm going to start going to my standing frame more.
That's good. Totally do that.
I know. Mine's
really
got
important. It's really important.
It's really important. I know. Oh my gosh. So, thank you so much for taking time. I know you're on break from work right now, and you probably could be something really fun right now, like playing video games or shopping and like on Fifth Avenue.
No, I'm just cleaning. I'm just doing laundry today. It's a big catch up because it's been busy to the end of the year. But we should hang out.
Absolutely. When you come to Minneapolis, I'd love to meet you for a beer. I'm going to break your resolution. I'll take you out for a beer.
That's totally fine with me.
All right. Well, have a wonderful New Year's Eve and a great New Year, and I can't wait to meet you in person.
Yay. Thanks so much. Talk to you later, Tim.
All right. Thanks, Sarah. Bye.
Bye-bye.